The Jerry Bader Show.
Yeah, I'm here. 840 1360 97.5 WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. All right, some housekeeping right off the top. I've actually got a number of very good topics. First, if you don't watch Blacklist, watch The Blacklist. Tony Shalhoub, Green Bay native who was Monk, was the bad guy last night. Oh, I forgot how good he is. He is so good. I'll just give you the mother of all teases. The scene where he's taking a bath with his dogs and shares his champagne with one of the dogs is classic Tony Shalhoub. Just, I loved him in Galaxy Quest. Just, gosh, I love that show. Really a good show. A couple of things. Mentioned this yesterday. Until February 18th, you can still get the discounted price on the Jerry Bader Show trip to Ireland. Now, we had a meeting here at our building in Green Bay. If you missed it, you didn't really miss it. Because they are doing a webinar, Colette Travel, and I got to tell you, Colette Travel did such a wonderful job with our Alaska trip. Every person we had on spoke positively. We had no complaints. Our guide, Barry, was incredible. Our trip manager, just awesome. So, if you want to learn more, you can register for a webinar. You can go to jerrybadershow.com. If you see the Ireland trip tile, just click on it. There's also an entry at the Bader blog. I posted on it there. I'll post on it again. I'll send it out, Twitter, Facebook. But if you go to jerrybadershow.com, it's noon a week from today, noon next Friday. But if you register and you miss it, they'll send you a recording of it. So it's a thing of beauty. So you can find that at jerrybadershow.com. Also at jerrybadershow.com. Again, if you go to the Bader blog, and I should do a fresh one on this. This is Titletown. They're in the running for the USA Today top 10 brew pubs. When I did that blog post yesterday, when I was on the air yesterday, I said they're number 7. They are number 1. They're number 1 in voting right now. And it would be very cool to see them get and stay there. This is not local. This is USA Today. Earl says it's all those Packer fans voting. Well, they called it Titletown because they're not stupid. That's why they put Titletown on the tower there. They figured just about every nationally televised game that they would get a camera shot of that. Number 1 is Titletown. Now, this is where it gets interesting. I am taking a brief vacation next month to St. Louis. Number 2 is the Schlafly Tap Room, St. Louis. Number 4 is Urban Chestnut Brewing Company, St. Louis. Number 3 is Brewery Vivant, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Number 5 is in Chicago. Number 6 is in Munster, Indiana. Number 7 is Grand Rapids. Number 8 is Ithaca, New York. Number 9 is Atlanta. Number 10 is in Corona, California. Number 11, Chicago. Number 12, Oakland Park, Florida. Number 13 is in Baltimore. Number 14 is in North Carolina. Number 15 is in Brooklyn. Number 16 is in Portland, Oregon, which I'm surprised because Oregon is considered the craft beer capital of America. Number 17, Santa Rosa, California. Number 18, Carlsbad, California. Number 19, Jackson, Wyoming. And guess where this place would be? Magnolia Gastropub and Brewery. Don't let the Magnolias fool you. Magnolia Gastropub and Brewery at San Francisco. Gastropub just has San Francisco written all over it. All right. I have said something. I'm not alone in this. I have said something ad nauseum for years. Liberals want higher gas prices. What's happening right now to them is like garlic to a vampire, kryptonite to Superman. They absolutely hate low gas prices. And yet they crow about them. During a State of the Union address, President Obama crowed about the low gas prices, with which he has nothing to do. Fracking is what has driven oil prices and then gas prices down. And liberals hate it. Liberals hate it. I'll make a confession here on the air. I have a guilty pleasure right now in television. My wife and I have gotten into Supergirl. Maxwell Lord is the poor man's Lex Luthor in there. Yeah, she has a costume now. Maxwell Lord is the Lex Luthor. And there's a scene where he bitches about the media and how phony the media is. You laud low gasoline prices that allow us to burn more fossil fuel and kill the planet. Oh. I mean, it wasn't even like snuck in between the lines. It was right in your face. Liberals hate low gas prices because you use more fossil fuel. And President Obama loathes these low gas prices. Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. Yeah, I do. This headline from yesterday: Obama to call for a $10 per barrel oil tax to fund clean transport. What do you think slapping oil producers with $10 a barrel is going to do to the price of gasoline? You are artificially inflating the price of a barrel by $10. President Obama will propose a $10 fee for every barrel of oil to be paid by all companies, in order oil companies, to fund clean energy transport systems, the White House announced Thursday, although Republicans were quick to declare the plan dead on arrival in Congress. The fee would be phased in over 5 years and would provide $20 billion per year for traffic reduction, investment in transit systems, and other modes of transport, such as high-speed rail, the White House said. It would also offer $10 billion to encourage investment in clean transport at the regional level. Do you know what this is like? This is like taxing tobacco to fund smoking cessation programs. It is exactly the same thing. And I will tell you what, the left hates oil, fossil fuels, as much as they hate cigarettes, tobacco. I mean, you want to talk about take 10 bucks a barrel from oil companies to fund things that provide less of a need for oil. Why do you think he's doing that? Now, the friend who shared this with me, longtime radio friend, he did it right because he and his wife winter in Hawaii. I haven't figured that one out yet, Earl. My radio career is not on that projection. And when I'm in my early 60s, I'll be wintering in Honolulu. I don't know if I need his financial advisor or if I need him as my financial advisor. Anyway, he came up with just a spectacular analogy to this in the email in which he shared the link. Jerry, imagine you're a dairy farmer and that your industry was doing its best to weather tough times. Prices have dropped to the degree that your income won't cover your liabilities. He's referring to the current oil bust. But wait, because this is just really good. You've done everything you can to improve your cost of production, but because another dairy-intensive nation decided to flood the world market with dairy products, the laws of supply and demand have performed in textbook-like manner. There's too much milk. It's cheap. And at the same time, anti-dairy activists have been launching false information campaigns in an attempt to cast dairy in a false light. You're riding the fine line between survival and collapse and praying that nothing more could go wrong. And then this. This is so good. The president decides that the fledgling almond milk industry is a very attractive idea. There's lots of support for it within the inner circle of people who campaign vigorously to get the president elected. There's a pop culture movement that thinks those anti-dairy activists are right. And this culture can be a big part of future political success. The nearly religious fervor with which these almond promoters tout their superior product is just as attractive in a campaign for office. Supporting their cause is just too big an opportunity to pass by. And so this happens. Dairy is just too big a liability. There are many scientists who agree that dairy fat contributes to poor health. The cattle industry uses too many resources. It's time we move away from dairy. And so today, I am proposing a 30% tax on every gallon of milk produced. We'll use these revenues to help the almond industry replace our reliance on dairy. I'm sure that with time, the American public will come to love and appreciate this transition. That's right. The president wants to drive one industry out of business by imposing a back-breaking tax, a tax specifically designed to benefit the competition. Nothing hits as well as hitting while they're down, and it's happening today. Boy, that's good stuff. I mean, even if I gave this a crack of my own, he did a great job there. Earl points out at $30 a barrel, 10 bucks is a 30% tax. Now, he knows this is going nowhere. So why is he doing this? Why is he proposing this? He's a lame duck president, doesn't have Congress, won't have it before the end of the year. Keep his green friends happy. Why does he need to keep his green friends happy? You're right, Earl. But why does he need to do that? Well, Earl says, so Biden can be president, so a Democrat can be president. Yeah, I know. You've had to put up with me in State of the Union addresses saying I like the cheap gas and you know I really hate it. So here's my little bone to you. My successor will hate cheap gas just as much as you do and will do everything they can to bring us back to the Stone Age, get rid of fossil fuels. I just had to do this 8-year wink, wink, nod, nod. That's all this is. The Green Lobby is really upset with him because he just has been unable to do what they want him to do. Understand, the end game is to get rid of fossil fuels. Yes, throw this garbage out there as fodder for Clinton and Sanders to bounce off the wall. And I would just like to applaud the wonderful proposal by President Obama to gouge the crap out of oil companies, those evil oil companies. You do have to understand, this is really tough for them because they love the fact that there's an oil bust going on right now. But here's what's different, and they know it. A shale oil bust isn't going to be like a wildcat oil bust of the past. The shale industry has positioned itself to be able to restart very quickly. They know that. This is why the old-fashioned Texas oil busts were a big deal. The one, was it 86? The late 80s, there was a bad one. And it took a long time. They don't just start that right back up. During this time, the fracking industry has been hedging against this stuff. So if you think this is a mythology that the left hates low gas prices, there it is. As Earl pointed out, at 30 bucks a barrel, they want to put a 30% tax. There it is. I received such a hysterical, and I mean that in just about every sense of the word. Oh, man, maybe, well, it's right here. I could read it right now if I wanted to. I received a hysterical email from a guy who's tired of me criticizing Donald Trump. I'm just going to tease the lead here. I've grown so tired of your oral fixation with Donald Trump. Ugh, I know what he's trying to say, but couldn't he come up with a better way to say it? You know what I mean? Ugh! It's just, there's no right way to take that and 100 ways to take it wrong. But I know what he means, and I'm going to share his letter later on, but I'm going to pee him off first. Earl shared this with me. You may have heard me mention my daughter and her husband live about half an hour north of Little Rock, Arkansas, in Conway. And we Skyped with them the other night, and they pointed out that there was kind of a surprise visit. At least the way it was being reported in the media, Donald Trump holding a rally in Little Rock kind of came out of the blue, which, you know, with New Hampshire and South Carolina coming up, it is kind of weird. And it was big, they're in the Little Rock TV market. So all of the TV news they get is Little Rock TV news. They also got, I think, all but two of the Packer games all season long. The other two would be Cowboys. But I believe just two games, they did not get the Packers. Anyway, so Donald Trump holds a rally there, and he tweets out that 12,000 people attended. The problem is the venue holds about 10. And the tweet included this picture, like, looks like something out of a movie. You know what it looks like? The crowds at County Stadium that were supposed to be Cleveland Municipal Stadium for Major League. That's what it's. You bunch them all together, and it looks like that bad boy is full. Turns out there's all sorts of risers that were completely empty. Empty seats. And the best estimate is it was about half that, which ain't bad. 6,000 is, that's not a bad crowd at all. But this charade is a microcosm of Donald Trump's entire campaign. It is simply not what it appears to be. It is perfect. This mirage is just trying to make everything bigger than life. And it is catching up with him when you don't get the votes. Received another a Facebook message, and let me just say this about the Facebook page, the show page, facebook.com/Bader page. Earl is pretty much the manager of that page right now. I post things on it, but in terms of housekeeping and maintenance and all of that. And there's a message feature on there, which it keeps asking me if I want to turn it off because I don't do well at reading those messages. We received a message from another listener who's tired of me criticizing Donald Trump. And Earl responded. She says, the show has changed. No, the show hasn't changed. And I've said this again and again and again. Why do I criticize Donald Trump? Because I will never pump sunshine up your skirt, ever. And I go back in 2006 when the national talk show said Republicans weren't going to lose. I said, we're going to get our ass kicked, conservatives. 2008, don't listen to those. And I said, Limbaugh and Hannity are pumping sunshine up your skirt. That's weird. Why was she unhappy that I shamed uber-liberal Scott Williams? I don't get that at all. I don't know. Maybe she blames the parents in the Sheboygan Falls fire. I don't know. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't know. That was weird. That was really weird. She was just kind of angry at the world, it appears, and took it all out on me. Anyway, no, the show hasn't changed one lick. If I believe something, I'm going to tell you that. I think what you've seen from the national talk shows is they've hurt their credibility. Mark Levin opened a can of whoop-ass on Donald Trump the other night. I mean, flamethrower stuff. Limbaugh was a bit more measured in the whole Ted Cruz attack thing. I haven't had to double back on anything where he's concerned. And I won't have to. Because I've been consistent and I've been honest with you how I feel. He's a fraud. He's a charlatan. He's a charade. And that's what I believe. He is the only candidate in the race about which I feel that way. That's why he's the only one that's getting it. Killing the working class at Walmart. Tomorrow is Ronald Reagan Day in Wisconsin. You will hear from the Gipper. Right you are. It's 9 o'clock.
News, talk, sports.